Okay, last time we were talking about eigenvectors and eigenvalues, and let me just briefly review again, very quickly, the definition and do some more computations. So if we have, say, an A is an n by n matrix, then we define the characteristic polynomial of A was the determinant of this, A minus lambda times the identity. And if you write this out, you're going to get a sign plus or minus, and then you're going to get a polynomial of degree n, starting with lambda to the n, and then plus some coefficients, a1, lambda to the n minus 1, and then plus, well, let's call this a1, and then an. Now, the roots of this polynomial are the eigenvalues of t. So the roots of this polynomial, let's call this polynomial, of this polynomial, are the eigenvalues of A. Okay, let's just give some example. We did one last time. Let me just look at, for example, at the case we did last time, and we're going to compute characteristic polynomial in a slightly different way. So here we'll take A to be this matrix, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2. And let's compute the characteristic polynomial according to this rule. By the way, the characteristic polynomial is determined up to a non-zero factor. Sometimes the characteristic polynomial is defined to be monic. That is, it starts with lambda to the n. There's a coefficient of the highest term is 1. Such a polynomial we call monic. But it doesn't really matter for the purpose of computing the roots. Any non-zero multiple of it will do. So let's compute the characteristic polynomial of A. It'll be lambda minus, well, I'm always doing it that way because from force of habit, for me, the characteristic polynomial is lambda minus the identity minus A. But okay. So let's just, according to this definition, we're going to subtract off from the diagonal 2 minus lambda from the diagonal, leave the other terms alone. So the characteristic polynomial is computed this way, 2 minus lambda, 1, 1, 1, 2 minus lambda, 1, 1, 1, and 2 minus lambda. Now let's compute this. There's many ways to compute it. Let's just compute it, say, by without doing any simplification. You see the point of this, we'll see sometimes if you do it and it doesn't simplify, then you're faced with a polynomial, you have to find the root. So let's just see how that's done in this case, and the general case is the same. In examples that you'll be given, the characteristic polynomial is very difficult to compute in the real world where things are nasty. Here, in the idealized world, in the classroom, and you'll be given nice characters, but the roots will be nice integers for the most part. At least one of them will be. So that you can compute the others in a nice way. So let's do this by expansion along the first column. So you have 2 minus lambda times the determinant, the cofactor of that element is 2 minus lambda, 1, 1, 2 minus lambda, 1, and then minus 1 times the cofactor of 1, which is equal to cross out the first row, first column, and second row. I'm expanding along the second column. Since the matrix actually is symmetric, it really doesn't matter which row or column you expand on. So I'm going to cross out the first column, second row, and I get 1, 1, and 1, 2 minus lambda, and then plus the 1 times the cofactor of the entry in the first column, third row, which is, again, 1, 1, 1, 2 minus lambda, which is the same thing. So in this case, it actually works out. The last two factors, the last two terms, they cancel, they actually cancel out. And so here, you're going to get 2 minus lambda into 4, which is that right? Is that right? There's something wrong here, right? 1, 1, yeah, okay. I just, again, transposed. And I just saw that that wasn't going to work out. So the last one across the first row, first column, first column, last row, and I get 1, 1, 2 minus lambda, and 1. Ah, okay. Okay, so now if I expand this, I'm going to get 2 minus lambda into 4, 2 minus lambda squared minus 1, which is 4 minus 4 lambda plus lambda squared minus 1. So I'm just taking the cross term, 2 minus lambda squared, 4 minus 4 lambda plus lambda squared minus 1, and then minus 2 lambda minus 1, which is 1 minus lambda, and then plus 1 minus 2 plus lambda, so it's 1 minus 2 plus lambda, it's minus 1 plus lambda, if I'm not mistaken. Right, 1, and then, pardon? It's 2 minus lambda minus 1. Second, right? Okay. And the last one is 1 minus 2, which is minus 1, minus minus lambda, which is plus lambda. And so if we work this out, you're going to get 2 minus lambda into lambda squared minus 4 lambda plus 3. And then the other two terms are going to get minus 2 plus 2 lambda. So it's minus 1 minus minus 1 and plus lambda plus lambda. So let me multiply. Here you can see, if you're astute, you can see in the second factor there's a lambda minus 2 there. So you could factor that out. So you get a factor lambda minus 2, even this way. But let me just be dense, and let's just multiply this all out. So I'm going to get I'm going to get 2 lambda squared minus 8 lambda plus 6, and then minus lambda cubed plus 4 lambda squared minus 3 lambda minus 2 plus 2 lambda. And this works out to minus lambda cubed. And then how many lambdas I get? It's minus 8 lambda there's a mistake here. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. That's lambda. I'm looking at lambda squared. So it's lambda squared. So it's plus 6 lambda squared. You're right. It's going to be 9 for the coefficient of lambda. It's minus 8 lambda minus 11 lambda plus 2 lambda, which is 9 lambda. And then the coefficient, the constant term, is plus 4. Okay. So let's take out the plus or minus 1. So this is actually minus lambda cubed minus 6 lambda squared plus 9 lambda minus 4. Okay, supposing I did it this way. So I have this polynomial now, and I'm faced, what are the roots? I have a polynomial, it's monic, well, the plus or minus 1. The coefficient of lambda cubed is plus or minus 1. And then I'm looking for integer roots. So for such a polynomial, the integer roots are actually all going to be divisors of the constant term, which is, well, plus or minus 4. So the integer roots, so if c is an integer root, then c has to divide 4. So if you're looking for integer roots of this polynomial, those are the simplest roots, and those are the things you try first. Let me just put this. C divides 4. So the possibilities are, for c, are plus or minus 1, plus or minus 2, and plus or minus 4. So if there is an integer root, it must be one of those. We already know that um, Whoops. Oh yeah, okay. It actually, it wasn't, because lambda minus one, and I said what I said before was not correct. Anyway, there's no obvious factor here when we do it this way. So we just try. So you just try to see. So how do you know whether an integer root? So in other words, this is a polynomial. Let's call this a polynomial in lambda, say f of lambda. So you c is a root, so f of c equals to 0 is a root. Let's just test for integer root first. So let's just take f of 1. So you just have to try. So you take f of 1, in this case, it's going to be, minus 1 minus 6, which is minus 5 plus 9, which is 4, minus 4, and you get 0. So you get f of 1 equals 0, therefore c is a root. Or therefore 1 is a root of the c. 1 is a root. Now you could go and try and guess for the other roots. We already know that, for example, 4 is a root of this, but let's pretend we don't know that, and lots of the times you don't know. In this case, if f1 is a root, so this implies that lambda minus 1 divides that polynomial, f of lambda. Now why that's useful is because, in fact, it's if and only if. In other words, f of lambda is lambda minus 1 times another polynomial. And now why that's useful, I'm just going to divide lambda minus 1 into this polynomial f of lambda, which is in this case, I'll put, because of the sign, I'll just use lambda cubed minus 6 lambda squared plus 9 minus 4. But what I want to do is I want to discover the other factor. Now, why I want to do that? Because the other factor is a quadratic, and I know how to factor a quadratic. So a cubic is easy. Once you have one root, you can get the other two by this process. Higher is another case. 4 is no formula for. This is a very onerous task in general to compute the eigenvalues. So if we just divide this out, so we'll get lambda squared, lambda cubed minus lambda squared. If we subtract, you're going to get minus 5 lambda squared. So it's minus 5 lambda. So it's going to be minus 5 lambda squared plus 5 lambda. And then, what did I do? Sorry, wrong thing. So I bring down the, there's a 9 lambda missing. That's what's wrong. Okay, 9 lambda. Okay, so I bring down the 9 lambda, and then minus 5 lambda, I'm going to get minus 5 lambda squared plus 5 lambda. And if I subtract, I'll get 4 lambda minus 4. 4 lambda minus 4, so this minus plus 4. So I get 4 lambda minus 4, and you get 0. So therefore, you have lambda cubed minus 6 lambda squared plus 9 lambda minus 4 is equal to lambda minus 1 into lambda squared minus 5 lambda plus 4. Now, that quadratic is easy to factor. You find the roots are 1 and 4. So this, in this case, you're going to get lambda minus 1, lambda minus 1, and lambda minus 4. So you get lambda minus 1 squared, lambda minus 4, as we did. As we did last time. Okay, any questions about that? So this is in general, depending on how you compute the characteristic polynomial, we did it this time by expansion along the first column without prior. Last time we had actually got rid of one of the zeros in the first column, and that was to a great advantage because actually we saw a factor coming out afterwards. So not that doesn't always happen, so you have to be prepared for the worst. And this is the worst kind of scenario you'll be faced with. You'll have a cubic, and you're going to have a quartic at worst. And here, if you have a quartic, you better hope that you have a multiple root, because if you have a multiple root, then you can. So in other words, if you did this, in other words, if I took lambda squared minus 5 lambda plus 4 and was really dense, and I try the factors of that are divisors of 4 again, plus or minus 1, plus or minus 2, plus or minus 2. If I put in lambda equals 1, I see 1 minus 5 plus 4, I get 0 again. So lambda minus 1 divides that. So you have a multiple root. So when you have multiple roots, you're better able to actually compute the characteristic, the roots, compute them, because if you have a fourth degree and you have a multiple root, then you have either a quadratic or a linear term. So it's multiple roots are good in this circumstance. Okay, so now we have the eigenvalues of our polynomial. And let's just again let's say delta lambda be equal to characteristic polynomial of A. And well, let me just to normalize things. So then, in supposing that delta C equals 0, that means C is a root. So then your polynomial delta lambda is going to be some lambda minus C to some power, say m, times another polynomial, say g of lambda. So in other words, g of C is not 0. In other words, like I did before, you factor off a lambda minus C, in this case it was 1 before, and I got a quadratic, and I try for a root that, supposing, again, 1 was a root of that, so I could factor out another lambda minus 1. And I keep doing that with that root until I get the largest power of lambda that's going to factor out of my polynomial. The more lambdas, the better in this case, because then the other one is going to be simpler. So in this case, we have it. Now, this M is what we call the algebraic multiplicity of the eigenvalue. So because here, g of c not 0, this is the same thing as saying that lambda minus c does not divide g of lambda. So in other words, c is a root of a polynomial if and only if lambda minus c divides it. So if c is not a root, then lambda minus c doesn't. So you can't get any more factors, lambda minus c, out of that. So lambda minus c, in this case, m is the highest power in this case. So in this case, m is called the algebraic multiplicity. So definition, m equals algebraic multiplicity, algebraic multiplicity of the eigenvalue of the eigenvalue c. Okay, that's the geometric multiplicity. Algebraic. The geometric multiplicity is the dimension of the corresponding eigenspace. The dimension of the current eigenspace, we call it E, say C, equals, in this case, the dimension of the null space of the matrix C times the identity. I'm always going to do that. It's the same thing, to assign A minus C times the identity, is what we call the geometric multiplicity. Of the eigenvalue C. So it's just the dimension of that eigenspace. Okay. Now we'll see later that the algebraic multiplicity is always at most equal to the geometric. It's a fact we'll prove later. Algebraic multiplicity. The geometric multiplicity is always at most the algebraic. So the geometric is, in my case here, let's just compute. In our case, in our example, where we had A was this matrix, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2, then the eigenvalues of A, we said that 1 and 4 are the eigenvalues, and the characteristic polynomial, in this case, the characteristic polynomial was, in this case, well, it was actually minus, well, we actually factored it out. It's minus lambda minus 1 squared lambda minus 4. So here the algebraic multiplicity of the eigenvalues, so the algebraic multiplicity of 1 is 2, and the algebraic multiplicity of the eigenvalue 2 is 1.
Okay. 4.
Yeah, sorry. Of 4, the eigenvalue 4 is 1. Now let's look at the geometric multiplicity. Last time, if we look at the, we computed this last time, in fact, they're really easy to do, in fact, by inspection. If you look at the eigenvalue 1, the eigenspace corresponding to the eigenvalue 1, this is the span. If you look at that, then if you look A minus the identity, you're just subtracting 1 from the diagonal. So you get all 1s for the rows. And so the solution space of that matrix, or the null space of that matrix, is the solution space of x plus y plus z equals to 0. And that is, there's many bases, so last time we took 1 minus 1, 0. Any two linearly independent solutions of that are going to be a basis because we know the nullity of that matrix is 2. The rank is 1, the nullity is 1, 2 minus 1, 3 minus 1, which is 2. So any two linearly independent solutions are going to be a basis. So therefore, the geometric multiplicity, dim d1 is 2, so equals geometric multiplicity of the eigenvalue 2. And if you take the eigenspace for the eigenvalue 4, this is the span of, in this case, if you look at that case for 4, you're going to get, subtract off 4 times the identity from that matrix, you're going to get minus 2, 1, 1, 1 minus 2, 1, and 1, 1 minus 2. And you can see right away that 1, 1, 1 is a solution of that system, right? And the rank is clearly 2, because if you add up the rows, you get 0. And the rank is 2. Well, we know the rank can't be 3 because it's not invertible. So it's 1 or 2. It can't be 1 because you have two non-proportional rows there. And so it has to be, rank has to be 2. The nullity is 1. And a solution of that A minus 4 times the identity is 1, 1, 1. So I did all the computation without actually, in this particular case, just using some simple deductions from the theory, without actually having to go and solve the equations. Because in this case, the solutions, the equations were so simple that you had some obvious solutions in it. So therefore, the dimension of the eigenspace, the eigenvalue 4, is 1. This is a geometric multiplicity of the eigenvalue 4. The eigenvalue 1. Okay. Now, in this particular case, you had a. We saw these. If you put these eigenvectors together, if you call, say, P1, let's write down the eigenvectors and call them 1 minus 1, 0. P2 equals 1, 0 minus 1. And that's called P3. Equals 1, 1, 1. These are eigenvectors of T, and they're linearly independent. So these are eigenvectors of the matrix A and are linearly independent. We'll see just a little later on in the class that in this case, if you take a basis for each eigenspace and write down the basis, put all these basis vectors together, they will always be linearly independent. You may not be able to get a basis for the ambient space if you have an n by n matrix. You may not get a basis because you may not have enough. You will get a basis precisely when the algebraic multiplicity is the geometric multiplicity in each case, because the sum of the algebraic multiplicities is going to the degree of the polynomial, which is the dimension of your space you're working in, Rn, if it's n by n. In this case, it's n is 3 of a 3 by 3 matrix. In this case, we saw in each case the algebraic multiplicity was equal to the geometric multiplicity. For the eigenvalue 1, the algebraic multiplicity was 2. The geometric multiplicity was 2 as well. And for eigenvalue 4, geometric multiplicity was 1. So the algebraic multiplicity is 1. So the dimension of the eigenspace is at most a geometric multiplicity. So you know before you start that if you get more eigenvectors, you get a basis with more eigenvectors than the algebraic multiplicity, you know you're in trouble. You made some mistake somewhere. Okay, so therefore our basis, they are a basis for R3. Now, this is a very nice situation, as we saw before. Let's, in this particular case, the fact that, so you have this, so this they are a basis for R3. So we have a basis of eigenvectors. Okay. As we saw last time, this implies that A, P, well, let's call P let's write the matrix P. I'll explain this in more general because we actually did this last time, and I'll do the general case in a minute. So if we take P to be the matrix whose columns are the 1, minus 1, 0, the eigenvectors we got, P1, P2, P3, then we saw last time that if you take A times P, this is equal to P times D, where D is this diagonal matrix, 1, 1, 4. Notice the order of the eigenvalues along the diagonal. The corresponding diagonal entry is the eigenvalue corresponding to the corresponding eigenvector. So if I had messed them around, for example, if I interchange P1 and P3, then AP3 would be 4P3. So I would have a 4 in the upper corner. So you can do that. That's fine. It doesn't. But the eigenvalues along the diagonal are the eigenvalues in the order of the eigenvectors that you have. We'll see more about that. So this is very easy to see, because if you look at the first column of AP, it's A times the first column of P, which is AP1. And if you look at the first column of PD, it's P times the first column of D, which is 1, which is the first column of the identity. So you just get the first column of P. And similarly, the second column of P is A times P2, which is the second column of PD, which is P times the second column of the identity, which is going to be the second column of P. And the third column of AP is A times P3. And the third column of PD is P times the third column of D, which is the 4 times the fourth column of the identity, third column of the identity, and that's 4. So you're going to get 4 times the third column of P when you do the multiplication route. So and this is the same thing, which is implies because of invertibility, which is the same thing as saying that P inverse AP equals D, since P invertible. P is an invertible matrix. Why? Because the columns of P are linearly independent. Okay, so let's just do it. In this particular case. So in this particular case, we say the matrices A and D are similar. So D is similar to a matrix. And the same thing as this, you can write this the other way around. A is P, D, P inverse. Yeah. Yeah, you can. It won't change anything. Right, because then you'll still get it won't change anything at all. Right, you'll still get the same thing. If I change the fourth and the first, I would have to write the same thing, but with D would be 4, 1, 1. Then it would be still correct. So there's many possible answers for P and D up to a permutation. Pardon? Because we're dealing only with square, good question. We're dealing, A is always a square matrix here. A is always a square matrix. If you don't have enough eigenvectors for P, in other words, P is going to be square if you have enough eigenvectors. Eh? In this case, to get an invertible P, if I only have 2 eigenvectors, I can't make an invertible matrix with only 2 eigenvectors. We'll give an example in a minute where you have you can have non-diagonalizable matrices. Okay. All right. I'll give an example. Let's give an example now. Well, in a minute, I'll give so this is what we call A and D are similar matrices. So A is similar to a diagonal matrix. And you can write A as a product of an invertible matrix times a diagonal matrix times the inverse of that first invertible matrix. So this gives you a nice way of doing some computations. So for example, so this implies, for example, if you take any power of A, you're going to get P D to the N P inverse. And it's easy to compute D to the N. So and D to the N is, in this particular case, is very easy, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 4 to the N. So we just have to compute p inverse to make this computation, and we computed p inverse last time. I won't do it now. You can actually so in this particular case, you can actually even make some more computations. So for example, here let's find a matrix. Let's take the square root of A if we can. I want to find a matrix whose square is A. So in this particular case, find a matrix. Let's just do it this way because B is non-unique. So let's just write it this way. So find B with, say, B squared equals A. So in other words, I want to find a square root of a matrix. Now, in this case, it's very easy to take if you look at the formulas here, basically what I'd like to do is I'd like to put n equals a half. Is that okay? Well, yeah, let's take the square root. D is e to the square root. Well, there's many square roots. Square root of 1 is plus or minus 1. Let's take the, what we call the so-called positive square. Let's just take the square roots of the diagonal. So let's take the matrix D1. So let C equals the matrix. I'm going to take the square root of D1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, and 0, 0, 2. Okay. Then why do that? Then C squared is equal to D. So I found a square root of the diagonal thing. Now I claim that if I take P, so A, B squared is A. So B, okay, I want to find B. So I know that, so basically what I want to find, so basically what I want to take now is in here I want my B to be P square root of D, P inverse. So that's what I'm going to take. So let B equals P times C times P inverse. Okay. Then if I take B squared, then this is P times C squared times P inverse. And C squared is equal to D, which is equal to A. So in other words, the process of similarity is very nice. If you want to compute a matrix whose square is a given matrix, or you want to find a matrix whose square is a given matrix, if you can diagonalize the matrix, and if the eigenvalues, you have a problem here if the eigenvalues are not positive, because then you can't do it always, clearly. So when you can do it this way, actually, if the eigenvalues are all positive in this particular case, and you have a diagonalized matrix, and if it's similar to a diagonal matrix, you take that diagonal matrix and just take the square roots of the diagonal entries. And if you take P times that matrix times P inverse, then the square of that matrix is going to be the given matrix A. So this is one way of taking squares. You can do lots of things. For example, if you have A to the N times... Well, if you want to take an arbitrary polynomial in A, you can do similar things. It doesn't, or if you want to compute the inverse, for example, let's compute A inverse using this formula. In this case, I'd like to put A n equals minus 1. So basically, you can actually do that as long if you want to take the inverse of A, if you know it's similar to a diagonal matrix. Then, I claim that this is equal to P, D inverse, B inverse, right? Because since A equals P, D, B inverse, if I take A inverse, the inverse of a product is the product of the inverses, but in the reverse order. So inverse of P, D, P inverse would be P inverse inverse, which is P, D inverse. And then P inverse, and so this is going to be equal to A inverse. So this is a way of computing the inverse, if you like, by this process. if you've already found the inverse of P, then you have another. You can write the inverse as a product of three matrices in this way. Just by you can. The problem is it's easy to compute products and inverses and with. So in other words, if you have a diagonal matrix D, so if you have a diagonal matrix D, which is say C1, Cn, then if I take any polynomial, say a naught lambda to the k plus bk, they take a polynomial in lambda, then if you compute f of d, then f of d is very easy. You just take f of the diagonal entries, f of c1, 0, 0, 0, f of c2, 0, 0, 0, f of cn. So in other words, if you take if you square a square diagonal matrix, you just take the nth power of the diagonal, you just take the nth power of the diagonal entries. You square, take the squares, add them, you're going to get so it's very easy to compute. So in other words, it's very easy. So in other words, we have up there. So if A is equal to P times in our example here, we had A was P times this diagonal entry, 1, matrix 1, 1, 4, 0, 0, 0, times P inverse. So this, if we took this f of lambda, so this implies f of A, which in this case is A naught A to the K plus B K times the identity. This is can be computed very easily as P times this diagonal entry, 1, 1, f of 4, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, times P inverse. So in other words, you can to do that, that complicated expression, it's, again, I have to do two matrix multiplications to do it. No matter how complicated it is, you want the polynomial A to evaluate A to the N or any polynomial in A, to compute it, it still amounts to three matrix multiplications applied to involving one of them being a diagonal matrix. Okay. Is there any questions on that? Okay. And this works quite generally. So when you can diagonalize a matrix, you can do, for example, I can compute E to the A if you like.
What is that?
Pardon? The coefficients are A. Sorry, let me just rewrite. That's the coefficients are AKs, I guess. Okay. A naught up to AK. So I'm just looking at these are the coefficients of my polynomial. So A naught times lambda to the K plus, and the last coefficient will be AK times the identity. Okay, so I just have a polynomial degree. This is lambda here as well. Oh, that's f of a. Here. Oh, okay. It was back here. Okay. So this is ak. So if I take up any polynomial in lambda, I can compute, f of lambda, compute f of that polynomial. That's a complicated thing in general, but if it's similar to a diagonal matrix, I can reduce that computation to the computation of the f of the diagonal entries, which are scalars, which are relatively easy to compute, and then make two matrix multiplications to compute. For example, I can compute e to the a, for in this particular case, would be p, in this case, e to the 1, e to the 1, which is here, and 0, 0, e to the 4, for example. So I take it's not really a polynomial here. F of lambda is not really a polynomial. It's 1 plus lambda plus lambda squared plus lambda to the over 2 plus lambda to the n over n factorial. Now, even in the case where you have the diagonal matrix makes perfectly good sense. So you can use this formula to actually define something like the exponential of a matrix and compute it. These are very useful things that you'll see in differential equations courses if you're going that way. Or even if you're interested in any kind of in biology or where you're doing systems, you're talking about systems of equations, differential equations, then you're going to have this This is going to be very, very important. So this is just as an aside. You can use these diagonalized information. You can actually do lots of computations simply because they're so if you like. So here, if you want to compute e to the a, really what it is, it's the identity plus a squared over 2 factorial plus a to the n over n factorial plus. Well, does that make any sense? I have an infinite series. Yes, it does make sense, actually. If you compute it the way we did, and you saw it amounts to the computation that we had before. Okay. Now, let's just do it in general. Let's talk about the general case. So supposing your characteristic polynomial factors like this. So if your characteristic polynomial factors like this, say it's lambda minus, say, C1 to the M1, lambda minus C2 to the M2, lambda minus CMK to the MK. Where the C's are distinct, then your polynomial has a chance of being diagonalizable, because we all know what it means to be diagonal. Then A is diagonalizable if and only if the geometric multiplicity of each eigenvalue is equal to mi. So in other words, if and only the geometric multiplicity of ci is equal to mi for all I. Now, one way is easy, because if it is similar to a diagonal matrix, then you can actually compute the characteristic polynomial. So let's just prove this. This fact one way, and then the other way is a little harder. So if say P times P inverse AP is a diagonal matrix, is diagonal, say it's lambda 1, say lambda n, so it's a diagonal matrix. So if A is similar to a diagonal matrix, then A is equal to P times this diagonal matrix times P inverse. And if you not want to compute the characteristic polynomial of A, so the characteristic polynomial of A, so this delta lambda in this case, then delta lambda is equal to be the determinant of A minus lambda times the identity. And if I have here, this is equal to the determinant. Now, A minus lambda times the identity is equal to P. Let's call this matrix, say, D here. P times D times P inverse minus lambda times the identity. Now, I can write the identity this way. This is the determinant of A minus lambda times the identity. Sorry. The determinant of P, D, P inverse, minus, I can write it this way, lambda P, P inverse, which is the identity. And I can now factor out, so I can write this as the determinant of P, D minus lambda times the identity times P inverse. Because if I multiply that out, you're going to get P dP inverse minus what I have there. And so this is the determinant of P times the determinant of D minus lambda times the identity times the determinant of P inverse. Determinant product is a product of the determinants. Now, these are all scalars. These determinants are all scalars. And this cancels with this, because the determinant of P is equal to the times the determinant of P inverse. So this is going to equal to the determinant of D minus lambda times the identity, since determinant of P inverse is the inverse of the determinant of P. Very important fact. So now here you can see what I'm getting here. The determinant, this is now the determinant of lambda of lambda 1 minus lambda, all the way down to lambda n minus lambda, 0, 0. So I have a diagonal. So this is just the product of the lambda 1 minus lambda all the way down, lambda n minus lambda. So you see that a diagonal matrix factorizes completely into linear factors. So if you have a polynomial which doesn't do that, it can't be diagonalizable. For example, let's give an example of a non-diagonal matrix. So let's give an example of a non-diagonal matrix. So an example of a non-diagonal. Remember, a matrix is diagonalizable if it's similar to a diagonal matrix. That is, if it's equal to P times another matrix times P inverse. And we just saw that in this case, you must have the characteristic one must be a product. And you can't have an irreducible for X. For example, if you take this matrix A, which is this matrix, 0, just take a rotation. We know a rotation through 90 degrees doesn't have, conical through 90 degrees, doesn't have an eigenvalue. There's nothing is fixed. Everything moves. Right? So what is that matrix of that rotation? Well, the matrix of that rotation would be 0, 1 minus 1, 0. So 1, 0 goes to 0, 1. And 0, 1 goes to minus 1, 0. So that's the matrix of a rotation through 90 degrees. So if you look at the characteristic polynomial of this matrix, you're going to get, in this particular, you're going to get minus lambda plus lambda squared. Minus lambda plus lambda squared plus 1. So which is lambda squared minus lambda plus 1. Now if you look at the discriminant of that polynomial, b squared minus 4ac, it's negative, so it has no real roots. So it doesn't factor over the reals. Remember, when we're talking about diagonalizability, we're talking about the possibility of writing it as a, all the matrices involved are real. So the lambdas, diagonalizable means that you have the lambdas are real. Actually, this matrix is diagonalizable, but over the complexes. But in this particular case, it's not diagonalizable over the reals. And we're talking here about real diagonalizability in this course. We haven't mentioned complex numbers yet. Has no real roots. Actually, the complex case is interesting too for computing powers. You have to allow for the possibility of roots being complex, but then that adds a little spice to the thing, and you can actually get formulas out using it. But that's another story. We don't want to go into the complex roots in here. Has no real. Therefore, A is not diagonalizable. Let's give an example, another example. Let's give an example where a matrix has all the roots of the characteristic are all there, but it's still not diagonalizable. If I take A to be this matrix, this is the simplest non-diagonalizable matrix. So if I take this matrix here, it's an upper triangular matrix. So if I take the characteristic polynomial of this matrix, I'm going to get minus lambda, 1, 0, minus lambda, which is lambda squared. That's a characteristic polynomial. Okay. What are the roots? Well, the roots are 0, multiplicity 0. So it has algebraic multiplicity 2. Therefore, 0 is the only eigenvalue. And what is its the dimension of the corresponding eigenspace? So that's E0. By the way, what is E0? E0 is the, in this case, this is the dimension, lambda minus, it's A minus 0 times the identity. So it's the null space of A. So the eigenspace with eigenvalue 0 is a null space of A. So in other words, 0 is an eigenvalue if and only if the matrix is, well, has 0 as an eigenvalue. What does it mean to have a 0 as an eigenvalue? It means there's a non-zero x such that Ax is 0. 0 times x, which is 0. So what about A? We can say about A. What are the properties of A? That it has a non-zero solution to the homogeneous system of equations with coefficient matrix A. A is? Yeah, in terms of other properties of the matrix. Pardon? Multiplicative properties of the matrix. Well, the columns are linearly dependent. That's another way of saying the same thing. Right. It's not invertible. Right. Zero is an eigenvalue if and only the matrix is not invertible. That makes sense, because if you want to take the inverses, you can't divide out by the the diagonal entries. You can't take inverses. So in other words, so zero is the only so the dimension of the null space of A. So therefore, you get see that zero is an eigenvalue if and only if A is not invertible. This is a particular case. So in this case, what is the null space of A? Well, the null space of A visibly, what's the rank of that matrix? 1. I have two variables, so the nullity is also 1. So this is equal to 1. And the geometric multiplicity, which is not equal to 2, which is the geometric multiplicity. Okay. So I can't find a basis of eigenvectors. I only have one P in this case. There's only one eigenvector. So in other words, here if I take if I take a basis, now E0 is the span of what? Well, it's the span of 1, 0. Okay. And so I done this particular case, I cannot make an invertible matrix P whose columns are eigenvectors, because I don't have enough eigenvectors in this case, simply because the algebraic multiplicity of one of the eigenvectors was not equal to the geometric multiplicity of this case. Okay, so you have here. So this is an example of a non-diagonalizable matrix. Yeah, although the characteristic polynomial, all the roots are real. Yeah.
Isn't 2 the algebraic
formula? 2 is the exactly. Is the algebraic multiplicity? Oops. 2 is the algebraic multiplicity. So the geometric multiplicity. This is the, 1 is the geometric multiplicity. So 1. Okay. Is there any questions about this so far? On any of the terminology? Okay. So if you have a basis of eigenvectors, then you're. So where is the statement that I made here? Let's go back. So A is diagonalizable if the geometric multiplicity of AI is equal to MI for all I. In this particular case, if it was diagonalizable, you see that that will be the case. But this is what I want to say in terms of diagonalizability. So A is diagonalizable by definition if and only if there is an invertible matrix P with P inverse AP equals to D, which is the same thing as saying P invertible and AP equals P times D. So supposing this diagonal matrix is, say, lambda 1, lambda n, and this is the same thing as saying that A, PI, PI being the ith column, is lambda I, PI. Of P. So this is the general situation for diagonalizability. If you want to diagonalize a matrix, what you have to do is find the take the characteristic polynomial and factor it if possible. If you can't factor it over the reals, then you have a problem. It's not diagonalizable. If it is, you still may have a problem in terms of diagonalizability. The only way to do it is to compute a basis for each eigenspace, and if the geometric multiplicity is equal to the algebraic multiplicity in each case, then you will have a basis of eigenvectors. Why is it a basis? That comes to the next thing I want to show. Why, if you take a basis for each eigenspace and put all the vectors together, you get a basis for in the case of 3, we saw that we actually showed that if you have only two eigenvectors, you take a basis for each eigenspace, the vectors you get are always linearly independent. So let's just prove that more generally as follows. So this is a really a basic fact, is if, say, P1, say, PK are eigenvectors of A with distinct eigenvectors, then P1 to PK are always linearly independent, or non-zero, well, are linearly independent. Now, the proof of this is very, actually, quite nice. So if we take, say, so let's take, say, A1, P1. Pardon? Eigenvectors of A with distinct eigenvalues. I said eigenvectors, eigenvalues. Say lambda I. Then P1 are linearly independent. So let's just take a dependence relation, AK, PK, set that equal to 0. Now here I'm going to, I'm going to call this, say, Q1 and this QK. You see why in a minute. Basically, I want to show that AI then is equal to 0 if and only if QI equals 0, because the PIs are non-zero. Okay, so now I have Q1 plus QK equals to 0. And I have A times QI equals lambda I QI. This is what I have. In other words, anything in the eigenspace is still in the eigenspace. Being in the eigenspace means that it's in the null space of A minus lambda times the identity, or ax equals lambda x. So anything in the eigenspace with the eigenvalue lambda satisfies ax is lambda x. So if I take something which is a multiple of an eigenvalue, is then an eigenvector is still going to be an eigenvector. It may be zero, but it's not zero, but it'll still be in the eigenspace. That is, when I multiply it by q by a, I still get a multiple of a. So let me just apply a to both sides. So in other words, I'm going to get AQ1 plus AQK, this is going to be equal to 0. So that means now this is lambda 1 Q1 plus lambda K QK, this is equal to 0. Okay. Now what I'm going to do is I'm just applying A to both sides and using the fact AQI is lambda IQI. So when I apply that, I'm just replacing each QI by lambda I times QI. Now, I want to get rid of Q1, so I'm going to subtract lambda 1 So I'm going to take, this is equation one, and this is equation two. I'm going to take equation two minus lambda one times equation one. What's going to happen here, you're going to get, I should have written a Q2, you're going to get lambda 2 minus lambda 1 Q2, and then at the end you're going to get lambda k minus QK, and minus lambda k, minus lambda 1, sorry. QK equals 0. So I have Q1 plus Q2. If I multiply the first, so I take lambda 1 Q1 and subtract that from the second equation, the lambda 1 Q1 cancels. Now the second equation, I'll have, the second term will be lambda 2 Q2, and I'm multiplying the first equation by lambda 1, so I'm going to lambda 1 Q2, subtract that from lambda 2 Q2, and I'm going to get lambda 2 minus lambda 1 times Q2. And similarly, the kth term there is going to be AK, lambda k qk minus lambda 1 qk, which is going to be lambda k minus lambda 1 qk. Okay. Now, you see, let's call this here, let's call this, say, R2. Let's call this, say, RK. Now, here you have, you see, you have R2 plus, plus RK equals to 0, and you have ARI equals lambda I R I. Okay. Now I'm going to repeat this. Keep going till at the end. So you repeat this k minus one more times. So you repeat this process. Now in this particular case, what am I going to do? I have A R two is going to be lambda 2 times R2. So I'm going to take lambda 2 times the first equation and multiply subtract it. So in other words, what this says, if I have Q1 plus Q2 plus QK equal to 0, then I have, now notice that these multiples here, lambda 2 minus lambda 1 Q2, they're non-zero, because lambda 2 minus lambda 1, they're distinct. Lambda 2 minus lambda 1 is not 0. So in other words, I'm replacing, multiplying the QIs by lambda 2 minus, by lambda I minus lambda 1 to get the Rs. So here the RK is lambda K minus lambda 1 times QK. So now I'm going to repeat the process. Now I have a smaller sum. So in other words, I'm going to get, till you get, the process, say, to get, maybe there's better ways of doing it, to repeat this process to get, or k minus 1 times, if you like. So, actually, you in this, how much, if you're just counting, if you only had 2, I only did it once. So you repeat this process k minus 1, k minus 2 times, if you like, to get, what are you going to get? Well, you're going to get, at the last time, you're going to get lambda. Let's see how the last terms are going to get. The RKs at the last terms, they get, the last one always gets multiplied by a lambda k minus lambda 1. So you're going to get lambda k minus lambda 1, lambda k minus lambda 2, all the way down to lambda k minus 1, RK, you're going to get this equal to 0. Or QK. QK. Well, the Qs. The QK, sorry. QK. So in other words, every time you see the RK, that's the first one that you did it, the QK, you get a smaller sum, and the last term was multiplied by lambda K minus lambda 1. Now I'm going to have a smaller sum, and I'm going to do the same process, and the last, you're going to have a shorter term by one term, but the last term is going to be multiplied by lambda k minus lambda 2. Right. And you keep going till at the end, this is, you're going to get this term. Now the lambdas are all different, so this implies that qk equals 0. So it's lambda k is not equal to lambda I for k not equal to I. Okay. All right, so therefore, I have q1 plus qk minus 1 equals to 0. So in other words, I've shortened my term now by 1. So repeat, you can just repeat this. Every time you have a sum of the qi is equal to 0, the last one is 0. And you keep going. So this is a repeat process. Repeat the result, the above, because the above implies, the method above actually this implies. So just repeat, apply. So now you apply the above. K minus 1 times to get Q1 equals Q2 equals QK equals 0, which is what I want. So they're all 0. Okay. So what this says basically is that no eigenvector, if you have an eigenvector with lambda, eigenvector with eigenvalue lambda I, cannot be written as a sum of eigenvectors with distinct, with other eigenvalues. So that's so this is a corollary. So in other words, this is so as a corollary of this fact is that if say P is an eigenvector with eigenvalue lambda, then P cannot be written as a linear combination of eigenvectors with eigenvalues not equal to lambda. Because if you did, you'd have a sum like that, as we had before. If you group together in the sum the eigenvectors of the same eigenvalue, you're going to get an eigenvector for that eigenvalue. And so you're going to have a sum of eigenvectors, one for each eigenvalue, equal to 0. And that's not possible. So P means this is what you get. So this is a very important thing. So in other words, when you find a basis for each eigenspace and put the eigenvectors together, you don't have to check for linear independence. They will automatically be linear independent. You don't have to prove this result, but you can use the result. It's a very useful result to have. Okay. Well, I guess I'll stop here because then you can get your papers. And I put the papers in three piles. I have the first pile over there is A to F, and the second pile is G to L, and then I have M to Q over here, and the last pile is R to Z. So A to F here, and G to
L.
I don't remember what I did. G to L.